The Navy says two barges are set to arrive tonight in Baltimore to begin removing key bridge debris from the Patapsco River. CBS's David Martin.
Maryland officials say that is the most urgent priority because the port employs some 15,000 people. Removing the debris will also make it possible to recover the bodies of the four construction workers who are still missing.
Once that work starts, it'll be a 24/7 operation until the channel is clear and the port can reopen. Former crypto boss Sam Bankman-Fried is headed to prison for fraud. CBS's Errol Barnett reports the judge did not buy his apology.
Judge Lewis Kaplan said Sam Bankman-Fried said one thing to the public, that he supported regulation, while privately saying, quote, F expletive regulators.
Today, former President Trump was among those mourning an NYPD officer killed in the line of duty.
The police are the greatest people we have. There's nothing and there's nobody like them, and this should never happen.
CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I'll be playing songs about touch, the non-threatening, completely consensual touch. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Four people are dead in Rockford, Illinois, and seven others are badly injured. A man is in jail facing charges of stabbing them all yesterday afternoon. Reporter Liz Nagy is in Rockford.
Neighbors are bewildered and rattled by this deadly afternoon.
Unbelievable. Sad.
Investigators are trying to piece together a fast-moving rampage they say was at the hands of a single man.
Wisconsin should be a safer place for judges now that Governor Evers has signed 29 bipartisan crime bills into law. Three of them are in response to 143 violent threats against Wisconsin judges in the past year. A retired judge was shot and killed in New Lisbon 2 years ago by a man he had once sentenced to prison. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following are closures in the listening area for Friday, March 29th. The Wood County Courthouse, River Block, and the Marshfield Annex offices will be closed on Friday. Sheriff's Department deputies and other emergency responders will remain on duty, but their offices will be closed to the public. The Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce and the Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau will be closed. The Wisconsin Rapids City Hall will have regular business hours, 8 a.m. until noon. Adams County offices will be closed on Friday, as well as Stevens Point City offices. The deadline is tomorrow for the Community Bookmark Contest at McMillan Memorial Library. The theme is Libraries Are for Everyone. You can find the entry form on the library website. One winner will be selected from each of four different age groups. The deadline to drop off entries is tomorrow at 6 p.m. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Bucks lose Pat Beverly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It happened Sunday night. Bucks guard Pat Beverly says his right wrist kept bothering him during warm-ups. He still played in the game against the Thunder, then had x-rays the next day.
Talked to the doctor and informed me that I tore a ligament in my right wrist and gonna need it surgically repaired, which takes 3 to 4 months.
Beverly likely done for the season. The Bucks face the Pelicans tonight in New Orleans. College basketball tonight at the Kohl Center in Madison. The Badgers women's team faces the Illinois State Redbirds in the NIT. Baseball, the Brewers and Mets game canceled due to poor weather in New York. The two teams will try again tomorrow. Bob Uecker says he'll be back in the broadcast booth for opening day next week at American Family Field. Then it's day-to-day after that. Uecker is 90 years old and has been calling Brewers games since 1971.
Just a bit outside.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the low 20s. Increasing clouds for tomorrow. Chance of a shower by tomorrow night. A high in the low 50s. Then a partly sunny day and a high close to 50 degrees for Saturday. Another slight rain chance as we look on into Sunday. Better rain chances Monday. It's 42 right now.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Friday morning on Up North News Radio, we'll talk Sweet 16 tournament action with Dan Schumacher and cover Thursday's season opener for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome, Thursday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842 is the number if you want to jump in and give us a call. Yeah, man, Johnny, getting a lot of feedback for last night for us taking on the billionaires, pointing out that the possibility that there are Republicans who like public schools and therefore who can stand up for democracy, you know, pointing it out. And as we keep saying, core democratic values, doesn't matter what team you want to play for, as long as you support core democratic values and support public schools. Hey, we're going to give you a shout out. So, Johnny, great feedback from the show last night. Tonight.
Awesome. That's great to hear.
Great guest tonight. And, you know, I want to jump right into this here. He is a writer and educator who challenges the status quo in academia. In his latest blog post, When ChatGPT Comes for Scholarship, John delves into the controversial use of generative AI in academics research. Or we can have it this way. Introducing John Warner, the rebel with a cause in academia. In his latest post, When ChatGPT Comes for Scholarship, John takes a swing at the use of generative AI in research, calling out the mindless production of academic papers. I don't know, John Warner, which intro did you like better, man? Because whichever one you pick, you're going to make somebody happy and somebody sad.
I would say, I'm going to be honest, I think I prefer the second one in the spirit of the show, having been here before.
There it is.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, he is John Warner. And again, Why They Can't Write Killing the Five Paragraph Essay. You can see a lot of his blog posts in Inside Higher Education. John, welcome back to Busted Pencils.
Oh, always a great pleasure to be here with you guys.
Okay, so John, we're going to take on AI, and we were having a little fun before the show, me, you, and Johnny dealing with this, you know, kind of, whoa, what's happening? But John, I start those intros, I had ChatGPT-4 write them for me, and you actually preferred one over the other. So was the number two ChatGPT much more in tune with the real John Warner?
It's more in tune with like the spirit of the show, right? Of like a sort of having fun, putting an attitude into discussions about subjects that can sometimes seem a little dry out to outside people, and being a little bit passionate. So yeah, the second one would be my personal preference.
So the first one would be more like the academic research, which is kind of what we're talking about here. It's When ChatGPT Comes for Scholarship, Inside Higher Education. Take a look at it. I just want to quote from this, John, a couple of times. The inevitable has now happened, and what is clearly unedited generative AI content is finding its way into, apparently, peer-reviewed publications. It's possible that this practice is already disturbingly widespread. Peer-reviewed journal articles. John, wait a minute. That's the academic absolute, you know, kind of biblical writing. Like, that's sacred writing. You mean to tell me that you think ChatGPT is being used by some of these academics?
Yeah, no, we know it is because the indicator, right, that sort of triggered this is people were did a search on the sort of boilerplate language that ChatGPT uses when it can't really answer the question, where it will say something like, as a large language model, I cannot blah, blah, blah. And so people did search for the string of text, and hundreds and thousands of articles came up from published databases. So we know not only is ChatGPT being used, but it's literally unedited in the way we would accuse a student of cheating if they put this kind of thing in their work. And the, you know, it's not that ChatGPT couldn't be useful in academic publishing. I was talking to a physician and medical professor out in California yesterday, and he talked about how GPT is a tool to sort of summarize data tables, right? Mm. Something that is purely descriptive,
right?
That has to happen in the stuff he publishes, could be fantastic and a huge time saving, and is no different than what would happen if a human did it, in the same way like a calculator calculates sums or multiplies, divides, the same way a human does. But there are parts of, at least I hope we believe this, there are parts of academic writing that we believe should be the product of human thought, right? We outsource all of that to something that cannot think, cannot feel, cannot read, and cannot reason, then what's the point? Why keep doing this stuff?
Man, I don't know. I know some full professors that if it sounds like you just described them there the way you cannot. No, Johnny Lupinacci, come on, man. You're out there, 70 plus publications. Johnny,
hey,
what do you got, man?
Oh, man, I'm just soaking this up because, Tim, you know, you and I have gone back and forth and we've sort of taken sides on this, even though I'll be honest, I'm on the fence because I originally didn't know a whole lot about AI. And I was sort of like, oh, this is just garbage. It's just a search machine. And then, you know, we started talking about how it came up and how many of our undergrads and grad students were using it and saying, hey, here are some real practical ways we're using it. It's a great way to get unstuck in our writing. You know, I'm asking like for some suggestions on some readings. They're also finding some ways it was wrong. You know, and I was tinkering around with some early versions. And, you know, I was just like, this is just garbage. This is garbage stuff here. You know, maybe it'll help us speed up some meaningless content. And to me, it felt like, you know what it's going to do? It's going to really make the tool of writing more creative, more meaningful. It's going to make the professions of journalism, right, and being an author more valued, because I know so many young people out there who love writing, right? Who got the idea to go into the profession, and then they ended up writing meaningless content, and they felt like there really wasn't much use of their skill. Well, I think that's going to eliminate that, because now AI will do the meaningless production of words. And we'll really have to lean on, like I think, like what John said, human production, like the human idea. And then, Tim, you started taking me down this whole like Alice in Wonderland trip. I'm talking about like I'm no hallucinogenics necessary, right, where you've trained your computer to know kind of the things you're writing about. And it sounds like you, it's writing similar to you. I'm still skeptical. And I'm saying, yeah, Tim, are you sure you're not just writing this and sending me something you've written? But, you know, it did pique my interest, because as someone who writes every day, I thought for sure, hey, it would be really great. Sure, if you could speed up some of my work, maybe summarize some of the things I'm a little long-winded about. You see, I'm a long-winded dude. I'm still talking
like now,
on my one little spot. Yeah. So what I'm saying, so we've gone back and forth. Tim's pro AI. I'm still against it, but I could be sold on it. And, you know, and John's a writing, you know, you talk about teaching writing. You talk about the importance of writing, the craft and the art of it. So, I mean, you're here as an expert, but also listeners and myself, selfishly, we want you to settle the beef.
Well, so this technology, right? And when we're talking about AI, we're talking about, in this moment, when we're talking about writing, we're talking about a very specific category of AI, generative AI, or the large language model, right? So it's important to put boundaries around what these things are. And it is a potentially useful tool for the production of syntax. But what I would like to suggest is there's a difference between writing and the production of syntax. Even though the ultimate byproduct of writing is a string of syntax, right? Words that we can read and take in. Reality is that the process of writing, that is when we write, writing is when humans write, writing is thinking. We are both trying to capture an idea or a feeling or an experience. And while we're doing that, because we're in the midst of it, we're also seeing that idea or feeling or experience be altered by the process of writing. So what winds up on the page is likely somewhat different than whatever our initial intention was. And that is an important process and a uniquely human process. And it's also a fantastic process for learning, right? Like writing about something is a great way to learn about something. ChatGPT, Claude Opus, all the other large language models don't do anything like that. They are syntax retrieving machines, matching patterns based on a truly unfathomable amount of other syntax that it's digested, right? It is a mechanical marvel, but it is a fundamentally mechanical process. And it is not what humans do when we write. So if the human process does not matter in any way, sure, outsource it. But I would ask, What are the consequences of that? Even something where you're like, oh, I got to get this out of the way, or it's easier to do it this way. You may be denying yourself an experience that will reveal something to you that you otherwise might not have recognized, right? Mm-hmm. Or you may have a sort of internal experience, something like something we've all done, which is write recommendations for students, right? Often time consuming, sometimes burdensome process. It might be tempting to try to outsource this kind of thing to a GPT. But the reality is when I write a recommendation for a student, I am re-experiencing that course with that student or that relationship I had with that student, as well as the teacher I was at the time I taught that student. And this process of reflection that allows me to write those recommendations has a profound effect on how I look at my own work. And really, that's the sort of thing that led me to change a lot of how I taught writing, because a student would ask me for a recommendation. I would like look up what they wrote for me. I would look at my comments for them. I would think about them and be like, man, that didn't work as well as I thought it should. Maybe I should do this differently, right? Ultimately, our lives are lived through experience. And if we deny ourselves experiences around writing just to have a product more quickly and more efficiently, we may be losing something essential. Now, it doesn't mean never do it. It doesn't mean it has no use, but I'm a skeptic as to where this stuff comes into play, particularly in teaching and learning contexts.
He's a skeptic, our guest, John Warner from Inside Higher Education.
Oh, man.
And we're talking about his newest piece in Inside Higher Education, When ChatGPT Comes for Scholarship. It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number is 855-752-4842. Johnny wants this argument settled between the two of us. I don't know if we'll get there, but we're going to come back.
He settled it. I'm the champ.
All right.
More.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned. Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end
extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
We crawl.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to crawl on your knees for us, but it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. That's what we do every night of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, Busted Pencils. It's 855-752-4842. Our guest is John Warner. He is the author of Why They Can't Write, Killing the Five-Paragraph Essay. He's also a blogger for Inside Higher Education. His latest piece, When ChatGPT Comes for Scholarship, Let's Do Less So That It Matters More. Talking about the drawbacks, and on this one too, very specifically, let's just explain this too. When we talk about academic writing and academic research, what that means for our listeners. So all of the, you know, so Johnny and I have another life as professors in higher education. And one of the ways that you get to stay working as a professor is by writing academic research. Or as my son would say, that really boring stuff, Dad, that you write all the time, you know, that no one wants to read. Now, I didn't really have much of an argument against him saying, yeah, Luke, I mean, academic writing isn't sexy. It isn't necessarily fun. It has to be done, though. It is a currency. If you're a professor in a higher ed institution, it's a currency that lets you keep your job in some places. And so it's really important. And depending on where you're at, the amount of academic writing that you produce as a professor has a really profound effect on whether you will stay there. So, John, I see this piece as kind of like pushing up against that and saying, wait a minute, Tim, you already know your son already thought your stuff was really not that great anyway. And now if it's not that great and we could churn it out really quickly, would this be a temptation then for people to say, you know what, I just got to get this crap out there and published. I might as well use ChatGPT. Is that where you're coming from?
Yeah, I mean, currency is the exact right word, because what we're in is a system where the creation of academic writing and publishing in academic circles, which is supposed to have an underlying purpose of building the collective store of knowledge, right? This is why we ask professors to publish, because you have very specific expertise, and we give you, as part of your job, your enumerated duties, we say you should take some of your time to do this work, right? Because we believe, at least in theory, that we value this stuff because we need to generate new knowledge and then share that. But what happens, this is an example of Campbell's Law. I think we've talked about this in previous episodes. But Campbell's Law, right, where essentially the measure becomes the goal. And so if we decide the proxy for a good scholar is the number of things they've published, the only thing that matters is the number of things they published. The process that leads to the publishing of those things becomes largely irrelevant. And so we have this really overproduction of scholarship in a lot of cases. And even they've charted this in different disciplines, but my field's English and the humanities, but like the generation prior to mine, I turn 54 next week, but my professors to get a job, like as a creative writer, would have published a couple of stories in, a reputable journal. By the time I finished graduate school in the 1990s, you would need to get a job as a tenure track professor. You would need to have published a full book, right? With the Commercial University Press. That is now even more extreme, right? Like my former employer had an opening a couple of years ago, and they're like, one book mandatory, more than one suggested. if you've like written a screenplay too, that would be nice, right? It's the sort of, it's this escalation because we only know how to count rather than evaluate, rather than hold to the principles that this stuff is supposed to represent, which is the building of knowledge. And so my feeling, and I write about this in the blog post, is this is ChatGPT is an opportunity to re-examine the values we attach to this work. It's the same of how we teach writing. It's the same of college admissions. It's all these things that now are under threat because we have this magic machine that can churn out a simulation of this work. Why continue to do that if ChatGPT is doing it? It's a simulation. Mm-hmm. If a simulation passes muster, then we should rethink what we're doing because we are humans and we're not here to just engage in a simulation.
I wonder, though, I see you're hitting on that, though, and this is kind of the rub, and we'll let Johnny jump in here, is that, you know, does the requirement, let's put it out there, the accountability system that says if you don't produce numbers, you will not get to stay because it is the currency. And so the reality here is that, you know, for the most part, I need to get this done so I can actually continue to do good work and produce good knowledge. So I'm going to use ChatGPT over here to meet the threshold. And while ChatGPT is helping me meet the threshold, I'm going to do really great knowledge creating writing. Johnny Lupinacci.
I don't know, Tim. You know, I've struggled with this one quite a bit because I can't imagine ChatGPT helping me do meaningful writing. I still am. That's why I said I'm on the fence. You're showing me some cool tools, and I'm like, maybe I could learn, because I'm remembering being a kid in a classroom where we didn't quite have graphing calculators and all the cool tools. And then we had mathematical softwares and all kinds of cool things really helped speed up how we did mathematics. And as a mathematician and a math teacher, you know, I fought that for a while. And I thought, this is actually a great tool. There's a way to bring the tool to the craft, to the discipline. So I'm open-minded, Tim, about this. But as someone, you know, who half of my work week is writing, right? And so I'm thinking about, you know, that would it help make my time more efficient? I'm on the fence about right now. I'm a hard no. I'm like, man, I can't imagine. It seems like it makes me have to do more work because of the way I'm thinking, I'm writing. The writing is helping me think, and it's planning out what I'm doing. It's a process.
Johnny is exactly right. He's using writing as thinking. He doesn't know what he wants to say until he starts saying it, right? So you could give a prompt to a large language model, and it'll generate something, right? Mm-hmm. And you might decide that's good enough, but it's not the same thing. It's just a string of syntax that is not ultimately the shape of the idea that would have come out if Johnny went through his process of writing, right? If all that matters is the product and that string of syntax, then it's absolutely more efficient. And if that's where society is going, like, it doesn't matter, just let ChatGPT churn it out, then, you know, God bless. Let students have ChatGPT do all their work. Let's have ChatGPT grade everything, and we'll go sit on our floating chaise lounges like the characters in WALL-E, right? Drinking soda and watching stuff on TikTok. I mean, these are the choices. We have a choice over what matters. And ChatGPT is sort of forcing this conversation to happen more quickly than we would like and causing a lot of panic, but it's not an impossible thing. And really what it's revealing for me is that a lot of this stuff was already going on before ChatGPT. It's just a matter of it now being exposed.
It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Our guest, John Warner. Yeah, ChatGPT, is that real writing or not? Johnny Lupinacci's a skeptic. John Warner's helping us out. When we get back, though, I'm going to talk a little bit about going, however, you made a great point, John, though, can it do some things well? More when we get back.
Your news comes conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. March Madness brackets can be fun, but gambling addiction is a real problem. Live sports bets in Wisconsin are limited to tribal casinos, but people can still cross state lines to gamble online. Rose Blazinski heads the Wisconsin Council on Problem Gambling.
We know that more people are going to do it, and we also know that more people are going to become addicted to gambling.
March is Problem Gambling Awareness Month. Today was supposed to be opening day for the Milwaukee Brewers, but bad weather is pushing it back to tomorrow. Other games are being called due to weather out east today. When the season finally gets underway, the Crew will take on the New York Mets at Citi Field in Queens. New manager Pat Murphy replaces longtime former skipper Craig Counsell. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Alyssa Kay. There's a resource fair and film screening next week in Amherst. The film, with executive producer Neil deGrasse Tyson, called Shot in the Arm, is both skeptical and hopeful. It explores vaccine hesitancy throughout history and in the context of our recent pandemic. The film screening is April 4th at the Jensen Community Center in Amherst. Doors open at 9 a.m. and the film starts at 10. They're also offering free COVID vaccines and refreshments. They'll have information on community resources, and you will receive a $50 gift card when you get the latest COVID vaccine booster. Registration is appreciated at capservices.org. You still have time to get an ID to use at the polls next week. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation will issue you an ID for free that can be used to vote. If you need your first Wisconsin ID, begin at the DMV's website, wisconsindot.gov. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If rumored new 007 Aaron Taylor-Johnson does accept the role of James Bond, the New York Post reports he will have the support of 84-year-old former Bond portrayer George Lazenby on one condition, and that is that Johnson do the character justice, like Lazenby did in his one Bond film. Lazenby was James Bond in 1969's On Her Majesty's Service. For those of you headed to Google like I did, Lazenby is spelled L-A-Z-E-N-B-Y. The Terminator has a pacemaker. Us Weekly reports former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger was given the implant due to 3 open-heart surgeries. Arnold talked about it in his podcast, Arnold's Pump Club, which, by the way, is a great podcast name, whether the subject is lifting weights or surgeries involving the heart. The 76-year-old bodybuilder was told it's pronounced pacemaker. He responded with, "That's what I said, pacemaker." For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the low 20s. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, chance of a shower by tomorrow night, a high in the low 50s. Then a partly sunny day and a high close to 50 degrees for Saturday. Another slight rain chance as we look on into Sunday. Better rain chances Monday. Currently 40 degrees.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
And her scars are how she got them. Has the test.
If you're listening, hopefully you're not getting any scars from us. It's Busted Pencils, fully Let It Education Talk. Educated educators talking education. The number 855-752-4842. We are absolutely digging in. ChatGPT writing, academic writing. Our guest, John Warner, been on the show before, writes for Inside Higher Education. His book, Why They Can't Write, Killing the Five-Paragraph Essay. Check that out. Got a text from Jameson in Pennsylvania. Right, right there. I love ChatGPT, but I don't use it to copy and paste. When I get blocked with ideas, solutions, or whatever, I utilize it to see if it has any ideas I'm missing that are right there but escaping me. John Warner. Cool. So is that a tool usage there, or is that cheating?
It is. No, it is. I mean, there are areas where, like, have you ever like watch TV and you see a actor on a show and you're like, I know that person from somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Where are they from, right? And you go to like IMDb and you look it up.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know there's some information that I need quickly, and I would get it eventually if I sat here and thought about it, but it doesn't really make sense to sit here and think about it, so let's do it. That sort of thing I think is useful, but one of the cautions I always have with this stuff is, because of the way the user interface on this technology was designed, it gives the illusion of thought, right?
Right.
That ChatGPT or Claude Opus or whatever these are actually considering this issue in the same way you are, and it is not. It is really just stringing syntax together. And so you could give it the same prompt a bunch of times and it will come up with new text every time. Mm. And that is both a strength and a weakness of this technology. So to the extent that it's like, oh, I'm a little bit hung up on something and I can't bust past it, but I could, it's something I might Google or something I might like turn to my buddy who's sitting next to me like, hey, what's that guy's name? Because it's driving me crazy. That's a good use. But the again, outsourcing the important human part of the experience of writing, that's where the danger lies. And unfortunately, we haven't done enough thinking around those things, particularly in education, to really have those boundaries and cautions up yet in a lot of cases.
Yeah, there it is. Busted pencils fully. Let It Education Talk. We got a caller, Joanne from Madison. Dr. Joanne, how are you, our friend?
Great discussion. I just have a negative point, a little bit of a downer, and then a positive point. Very quickly, the negative point relates to the biases, because we're training these little machines, the ChatGPTs, with material that's biased. Because, for example, Wikipedia is biased toward male authors, male material, as opposed to female, and you can work out the rest. I mean, I don't need to go through all the iterations there. But I'm also concerned about and excited to about the new genres, the new ways of producing material that these generative AI machines are going to allow us to do, because we've got all of these ideas that we could be sharing, but sometimes we're bogged down in the trivia. There's a wonderful song, putting it together bit by bit, you know, that art takes all the details and all that. Well, what if we could get rid of some of those details in writing? You know, that the third draft or whatever, that, hey, we'll give it to our AI machine to clean up, that we won't have to do some of the more mundane aspects of writing, and then we'll be free to do more combinations, more riffing, more the kinds of jazz that we're allowed to do when we are freed. So great conversation, and I'm all ears.
Thank you, Joanne. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, so Dr. Joanne brings up a couple of great points. One is the bias of these things, right? They are trained on the world as it is. Often in the past, right, they're not up to the moment. And any bias that's sort of ingrained in that world is only reflected in the AI. And one of the real dangers we have is an increasing amount of AI material, AI generated material, is going into the web that the AI then ingests, and then it reinforces these biases over time. And it actually can also degrade the models. The other thing she raises that I think is a really important framework anytime we're talking about this technology is, rather than thinking about it as artificial intelligence, which is really a bit of a marketing term, think of it as automation. It is really a tool of automation. So where there is something that can be automated without the loss of meaning in terms of the human experience or the outcome, I think it's great. Like, I just turned in my book manuscript. If there's not yet a reliable automation for like formatting all of my sources in Chicago style, that would be fantastic, yes. Right? Because that is a purely, it's like.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is Wisconsin Badgers women's basketball.
One dribble up, it's good, and a foul. Step back, three is good. And Wisconsin pulls off the upset on senior day, 78-70 over 12th-ranked Michigan.
Wisconsin women's basketball is brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond. Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. American Family Insurance, insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison and Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells, proud casino partners of UW Athletics. And by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. Welcome to the Badger Pregame Show. Here's the voice of Wisconsin women's basketball, John Arias.
A 19-point comeback win Monday night has propelled Wisconsin into the Super 16 of the WNIT. The Badgers completed their comeback on the road in front of a rowdy crowd at Southern Indiana. But tonight, they're back in Madison as they try to get to the quarterfinals of this year's WNIT for the first time in 15 years. It's time for postseason hoops. It's time for Badger basketball. Coming up on tonight's pregame show, we'll get a scout of Illinois State with Badgers assistant coach Margaret McKinn. Will look inside the Badger numbers on that 19-point win on Monday night against Southern Indiana. But up next, let's hear from Wisconsin head coach Marissa Mosley. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Hey, it's Matt LePay. You're listening to Wisconsin Badgers women's basketball on WFHR, locally grown radio, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM, a Civic Media station. Download our free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Listen to Wisconsin Athletics all season long on your local Civic Media radio station.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel, white-tailed deer, black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hello?
Man, where are you? This wedding is lit. I thought you were coming.
Ooh, I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? You didn't get a flu shot?
I wish I did. I can't believe I'm missing out on Greg's wedding.
Whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf.
Grandma's about to what? What?
Man, I'll call you back.
Oh, man.
Sounds like another case of flu FOMO.
Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. It keeps you protected and also protects your loved ones. Protecting our community can't wait. So why get stuck inside with the flu? Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized, then the Carpenters Union in 1848. The National Labor Union didn't even form until 1866. A State Historical Society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
At the Kohl Center, it is the Super 16 of the WNIT. Wisconsin hosts Illinois State, joined by the Badgers head coach, Marissa Mosley. I'm not sure where to start with that 19-point comeback on the road. I thought there were like many moments that helped your team. Sanaya's three, Ronnie making a big defensive play late when they're driving in for a layup. How did you see that down the stretch and some of the key moments for your team in that win over Southern Indiana?
Yeah, I was asked that, kind of, was there like a turning point or pivotal moment? I do think Sanaya knocking in that kind of deep buzzer beater three was a great shift for us, and then her and Ronnie knocking in those two threes back to back, a transition bucket where Nye hit a Sarah and we got an and one, obviously always gets the crowd going. Ronnie, yeah, saving that transition layup, and then Sarah getting down and guarding a guard and causing a turnover at the end. So there were so many different moments. I think it was really cool to see kind of perseverance personified.
Yeah, a ton of cool moments. And then everything flipped too, as far as, offensively too. Your team shot 78% in the fourth quarter, Southern Indiana 17%. What was the biggest reasons why that was able to flip like that?
Part, I think we were able to get out in transition. So we were able to get some high percentage shots there when we got stops. Also, we were able to get the ball inside, down low to Sarah. And I think that helped us as well. But I think just with the momentum shift, there was a confidence shift, and where they were shooting an unreal percentage in the first half, we were able to kind of capitalize on that in the second.
You mentioned that
fourth quarter.
Yeah, you mentioned the transition game, fast break 26-0 in favor of your team. How good is this team when they can get out and start running like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we talked about from the very beginning of the season, having really mobile posts that can get down the floor. We've done a ton of transition drills, and I thought, Ronnie was able to find a lot of people streaking down the floor and making easy baskets. Long outlets helped us too. Sarah had a really nice long outlet at one point. When we can get those easy buckets, you don't have to grind as much in the half court. I think it helps to balance and make it that much better.
Best of luck.
All right. Thank you so much, John.
That's head coach Marissa Mosley. Keep her right here. We'll get a scout at Illinois State next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Thanks for listening to this Civic Media station. You're one of thousands of people tuned in right now, whether on the radio, the app, the podcast, or stream. Audio is the number one source of information and entertainment among adults in the U.S. If you own a business or you're in charge of growing a business, this is a key fact, and you should know how it can work for you. That's where we come in. At Civic Media, our local radio stations influence local people, the same people who shop and buy at your place. Now we also reach those same customers wherever they are in the digital world as well. From podcasts to streaming to apps, laptops, and smartphones, our digital advertising capabilities ensure that we deliver the right message to the right people at the right time. And with our state-of-the-art measurement systems, we can prove it. Schedule a short meeting to learn how we can partner locally to help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us. Click on sponsorship. You'll hear back within 24 hours.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. what I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
And back at the Kohl Center, WNIT Super 16 action. The Badgers host Illinois State, joined by Wisconsin assistant coach Margaret McKeon. So what can a comeback win like Monday night do for a team in a tournament setting after coming down 19 and beating Southern Indiana? What can it do for them moving forward?
I mean, everything. I mean, it's basically you're in a position where if you don't win, you're going home. So you learn how to survive and get through things. I felt like the team as a group came together in that second half, especially in the fourth quarter. And hopefully we can carry that on to today.
Let's talk about today. Illinois State, Deanna Wilson, 6'2", leads them in scoring, leads them in rebounding. How will you have to defend her?
Well, she's a face-up post. She will post up in the mid-post to a low post and at the high-post area, and she face-up, and then she tries to use her athleticism to get downhill. So we just may have to be sure of, like, Sarah will be guarding her just to stay between her and the basket and move our feet. So I feel like Sarah's length will hurt her.
As a team, they're top 30 in the country in three-point percentage. They're top 35 in field goal percentage. How would you describe what they can do offensively with those type of numbers?
I mean, they execute very, very well. They run their stuff with pace. They have multiple looks and different actions that they do offensively, and they do it well. They have three veteran players that last year went to the NCAA tournament and won a championship, so they know how to win. And I just feel like for us, it's going to be a very good test to find out if we can carry over the scouting report, know what we need to do on certain different sets that they run in different actions, and see if we can defend them.
Best of luck.
All right, thank you.
All right, that's assistant coach Margaret McKeon. Keep it right here. The Badger Notebook is next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
When it comes to advertising, the landscape gets more and more confusing every day. As a business owner, you've got dozens of choices on how to spread your message. At Civic Media, our goal is to help you unclutter that landscape. For 100 years, radio has successfully delivered customers to the doors of local businesses because we're local too. Local news, local topics, and local people that care about the places we broadcast. That gives your message credibility, and that's key when it comes to getting your message in the ears of the right people. Learn more about how this Civic Media station can help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us and click on sponsorship. From right here in our town to across the entire state of Wisconsin, we'll get the right message to the right people at the right time. And you'll be surprised how effective and budget-friendly radio advertising can be. Again, log on to civicmedia.com and click on sponsorship. We'll have a talk and help you craft the message that works for the people that you want to reach.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product?
It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for CarMax? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created CarMax in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for CarMax when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back courtside at the Kohl Center. John Audius with you. It's time for the Badger Notebook. It's Wisconsin in the Super 16 of the WNIT facing the Illinois State Redbirds. Illinois State comes in 22-11 overall this season. They were 13-7 in the MVC. The Badgers 14-16 after that 19-point comeback win against Southern Indiana in the second round. The Badgers went on a 25-7 run in the second half to take down the Screaming Eagles, 67-62. Now, in that game, Sarah Williams with her 17th straight double-double, 24 points, 11 rebounds. She also had a career-high blocks with seven. Ronnie Porter, a career night as well, went off for 19 points. The Badgers actually trailed 45-22 with 3 seconds remaining in the first half, pulling off that 19-point comeback victory. Now back to tonight. Badgers versus Illinois State. What's the history look like? Well, overall, the Badgers trail in the series 8 wins with 11 losses. Illinois State won the last meeting back on November 20th of 2022, 62-57. Keep it right here. Quick spinner on the Big Ten's next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
What does it mean to be locally owned and operated? For Cenex, it means everything. It means that we know if you take your coffee to go or if you like to stay a while. It means we've helped Little Leagues get jerseys and local festivals get funding. It means we know what our communities need. So you'll always leave Cenex with a full tank, full of snacks, or full of smiles. Or all of the above. And that means the world to us. Cenex, powered locally.
The big game. Family. Friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burgers, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
If you've got the right tools and the friendly people at U.S. Bank in your corner, making smarter money choices is a piece of cake. If only our tools and helpful advisors could have helped you avoid some of those not-so-smart choices in life.
Like that time you tried to pick up unicycling.
Whoa, coming through!
Or when you thought it'd be okay to pet that squirrel in the park.
Good squirrel, good squirrel.
While we can't help you with all that, we can help you bank smartly at usbank.com/smartertogether. Member FDIC.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL, no problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
And back courtside at the Kohl Center, John Audius with you. WNIT Super 16 action between Wisconsin and Illinois State. The Badgers, one of three Big Ten teams still alive in this WNIT tournament. The others, well, one of them playing tonight. Purdue is hosting Duquesne. There's about 8.5 minutes to play in the third quarter, and the Boilermakers have a 31-24 lead. If they advance, they'll go on to the Great Eight. Now, Minnesota takes on North Dakota State. That one goes tomorrow, and then a game not in involving a Big Ten team, but obviously Badger fans are going to want to keep an eye on this one. Tomorrow night, Purdue Fort Wayne faces St. Louis. The winner of tonight's game between Wisconsin and Illinois State gets the winner of that one in the Great Eight. Keep it right here. When we come back, starting lineups in the opening tip-off. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel, white-tailed deer, black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which